Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And I'm Ben Bolin. I hang out with Scott, and I do some other stuff at this website.
Very sly.
A little vague.
Part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the way the listeners like it.
Right. Well, I would say, you know, that's kind of the role here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, understood. I'm right up front about everything, and you're kind of hiding in the shadows.
Right, but I'm using my real name, and Scott Benjamin is obviously an alias.
Sure. That's right, because if I could make up any name, it'd be Scott Benjamin.
I saw the list. I saw the list of potential names.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Speaking of names, Ben, we're going to be going through a little bit of a name change pretty soon, aren't we?
Yes, sir. Yes, we are.
You want to go ahead and let them know what it is?
Sure. Everybody, look out for a name change in the next few weeks. We are changing the name of this show from High Speed Stuff to, can we get a drum roll?
Car stuff.
Be prepared.
So all right. What's up, Ben?
Let's take a little different direction. You know, it's about time for us to do another more aesthetic idea as a podcast episode.
Okay.
So here's where I'll go with it. Let's see how we feel about this. Are you familiar with the Victorian age? I mean, not personally, but you know.
Yeah. I'm old, but not that old. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about that? The whole rush we see toward industry, the strange attempts at innovation.
I think I like it because I do think I know where you're going with this, but yeah, I'm in favor of this movement.
I thought so because you, for instance, you know, you kind of have a thing for steam engines. That's your bag.
A little bit. More so now that I know more about them. I guess they're very interesting to me.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
What if I told you you could have a car that looked like it was made in the Victorian age, using the latest technology of the Victorian age?
I would say bring it on. I would say so. I think that would be pretty cool.
Then you, my friend, are dangerously close to becoming a steampunk.
Steampunk is cool, but I don't think I would. I don't think I'd fall into it completely.
Well, we can't jump ahead to personal opinion.
No. Yet. Okay. So, sorry. Sorry.
No, don't apologize to me.
I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, but, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are parts of it that I do like, though. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate the mechanical side of this thing where, you know, you can see all the wheels and cogs and gears and the machinery, the internal machinery that's now moved outside.
And we've seen so many, we have seen so many different approaches to building or decorating a car. You know, we've got that one. Remember the one with all the fish? I've got to stop talking about that one.
Yeah.
And then the one
cars. Yeah.
Yeah. And the art cars. And then the really strange stuff like that mechanical spider you showed me earlier.
Yeah, that was cool.
But these cars, which are the steampunk, and before we get ahead of ourselves, steampunk is sort of this design aesthetic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the idea is that if in the Victorian age, when steam technology was really looking like a promising way to move toward the future, what if we never went toward other forms of technology? What if we never digitized things, for instance, and we just relied on a more mechanical, steam-powered industry, I guess, or industrial world?
I like it.
That's basically the idea.
This is, I mean, I've got a couple of quotes here from some steampunk designers, if you want to call it that. And just a few of them. And I'll run through, and I'm not going to credit each one. I'm just going to go through and say what they said just in general. Okay?
No curse words.
Nope. I'll try not to.
No.
These are just like quick things that will give you a kind of a flavor of what the steampunk thing is about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of the best things that I've seen about this, the best way to describe this is Victorian science fiction.
Perfect.
That seems to cover it right there, really. But there's so much more because really it comes down to the use of a lot of, you know, like rivets and leather and brass and external plumbing and wheels and cogs and, you know, what are some of the other things? A lot of lenses, they say.
Yeah, gears.
Glass. Mm-hmm. Wood, of course, is used an awful lot. But really, I think the idea is, and that, you know, I'm already going off the list here. But I think the idea is that it's kind of the future that didn't really happen, is what they're saying.
That's a good way to say it.
And I think that sounds vaguely familiar, that maybe I've read that somewhere, something similar to that. But it's like taking that Victorian era, I guess, mechanical ability, and then building something like a modern automobile using that primitive technology, somewhat primitive, you know, compared to what we have now. But boy, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. How would you do that?
I don't know. I mean, because they've you know, people take modern devices and they retrofit them with steampunk accents, I guess, or design.
Right.
And we that's should cool.
Be, yeah, that is cool. And we should be completely honest. I think it would be tremendously difficult to build something like that without using modern technology. And most of the steampunk stuff that we see, that steampunk design or those kind of accents, it is modern technology that has a lot of, you know, as you said, bronze wiring or copper tubes.
Exactly.
And stuff.
It's a computer or a keyboard or a wristwatch or something
or
like that.
Or whatever.
That has a shell on it that looks like, you know, that with steampunk design elements.
So this is ornamental. A lot of this stuff is not essential to the function of the device.
Exactly.
That's
yeah,
what
a lot of it is
about.
Ornamental. Yeah, yeah, it just makes it very, you know, complex looking.
So here we are. We're
this is tough, isn't it?
We're a car show.
Yeah.
How did we get on the subject?
Well, I think you know, in a roundabout way, a listener from a long time ago had mentioned a car that I took a second look at.
Boom! Surprised you.
Yeah, I know.
Surprised you guys. I'm talking to the listeners.
This is a long time ago. This is back from I don't know, the middle of 2009. And I think we had mentioned this in response to when we were talking about movie cars.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the movie car episode that we did? We had a listener from Norway write in and say the person's name is Andreas. And Andreas said that we should take a look at a car called, and I'm going to try this again.
All right.
Il Tempo Gigante.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
You're laughing because is that close? Probably.
Yeah.
It's a stop motion animation thing that was done, I believe, in the 70s.
Yes.
And this is a good example, believe it or not, of a steampunk car. It's using kind of that Victorian era look and feel in a of course a modern automobile. And this is a huge car. They've actually made a full size replica of this car. That you know, is, I guess, really something to see. It has two engines, one, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 horsepower for one engine, and I guess it's really, really loud and big and fast, and it's a huge car. But it has a lot of these, I don't want to say do nothing, but a lot of ornamental, ornamental things on it that, you know, don't necessarily have to be there, but they lend an interesting look to the vehicle. You know, a lot of brass, a lot of just a lot of decoration, really. But it has that it definitely has a steampunk style to it.
And there's sort of an artistic statement at some point, which becomes the main function of the ornamental stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I got a few, you know, just a few listed here that, you know, I've come across online. If you do a search for steampunk car, you'll be able to look at several of these. And there's a lot of, you know, everybody's got their own interpretation of what this is. One of the first ones that'll come up on a Google search is I think it's called the Steampunk Workshop, and this guy, the guy that owns the Steampunk Workshop, is building a steampunk car, and it's kind of a work in progress. And you can watch online as he takes photos and describes, you know, what he's doing along the way. I didn't notice when the last update was, so I don't know if he's still continuing with this project or not. But he is using a kit car as the basis for his steampunk car.
Really,
he's using a 1929 Mercedes Gazelle SSK replica, so it's an open top. A roadster car that's kind of got a little bit like an Excalibur look to it. It's a real long front end. It really does have kind of the fitting look for what you could imagine a steampunk car having.
Yeah.
It already starts with kind of a basis that you could understand him doing this.
Yeah, that makes sense for him to get a kit then.
He bought it for $1,500, and he says that, you know, it's just a, like he said, he didn't want to, you know, take an original and do something like this because, you know, he's thought he'd have a lot of people upset with him, and the price is right, and it just seemed to like have that look that is the right thing to do.
And I'm very supportive of people taking it upon themselves to do these kind of projects. Mm-hmm. They're so great for every individual learning experience, man.
Oh yeah,
to build something like this.
Exactly. This should help him. I mean, already very talented in the steampunk world. I mean, you can look at a lot of his gallery and see what he's done already, and you know, this car is something new for him. But you know, as you watch the progress and you see that, you know, he's done it this way, and then maybe next time if he does another one, he'll have a better idea of what to do next time and make an even better version, or, you know, different type of car completely.
And then we'll start selling them, Scott.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And see, that's the thing. Like, you know, people like this, they're bound to make a fortune doing stuff like this, you know, where I would think.
And they said this was a list.
A list, yeah. I've got a
what,
few things.
What else is coming up?
There's a steam car, or a race car, rather. A steampunk race car. Really? Which is the, well, that's that Gigante that I mentioned already. But,
oh, okay.
But so it's fictional, but it is a real car. That's the thing. This thing is a true car. You could go to a museum somewhere, wherever this thing is housed, mm-hmm. and look at it and see the, you know, the actual vehicle. I don't know the dimensions of this thing. I should have written it down because they are huge. It's a big car. There's also the steampunk spider car that you have watched with me.
Yes.
Which isn't really a car.
No. It's crazy. Can we say the movie name? I think we can say the movie
Why
name.
Not?
There's a film by called Wild Wild West, mm-hmm. which I have seen snippets of before, but this part of this film has what I guess you would say
a villain.
Right, Scott, absolutely. A villain who has this thing for spiders, and he builds these mechanical contraptions that impersonate spiders, the motion of a spider.
Yeah, and it's so, that huge thing, right? This is a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one in the film. And so, Scott, you're the one who discovered this guy. I didn't discover him
by any means, but I found it while I was looking around for steampunk devices. And I found this. It's called, I think it's called the Mondo Spider Car, something like that. But if you do a YouTube search for spider car, you're going to find this thing.
It's so weird.
It's downright creepy to watch this thing move around, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, it is.
And it took him, just listening to the owner, because there's one where he's testing this thing out in a parking lot, and that's the video that I'm talking about. It's a little bit rough. He's sitting in the driver's seat, and he's being interviewed by somebody behind the camera. Maybe it's even a cell phone camera. I don't know. The quality wasn't too good on the video.
It might have been a cell phone.
But he said it took him 3 months to design it, 6 months to build it, and it cost about $15,000 to build this thing.
We should say this as well. It's not, guys, it's not a regular car that has things, you know, clamped on it to make it look like it has spider legs.
No.
It doesn't have wheels.
No.
It doesn't have, I assume it doesn't have a transmission.
No.
It is seriously a seat that you sit on, and it moves you with eight metal legs the way that a spider would move.
Oh, yeah.
It's really weird.
And when it's in full motion, you can hear it clanking, and it's just the creepiest sound. And to watch that thing, it's quick, too.
It is quicker than it should be.
It's quick. It moves fast.
It ain't natural.
A straight line. Now, turning it took a little longer, I noticed, but that was because I think the material, it's just bare metal on the bottom.
Right.
It doesn't have any kind of grip on the asphalt that it was on.
There's no rubber footing.
Exactly. So the turn took a little while, but then to watch, you get to watch it, you know, go away from you twice, I believe, and it's unbelievably quick, and it's really complex looking, and that's kind of like this whole thing with the steampunk thing is that it looks very complex. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it is complex, but I don't know if it's quite as complex as it looks to you and I. Maybe it's more simple than that, and we just don't understand what's going on inside there.
Right. Yeah, I could see that.
You
but
think
still,
so?
Still, I'm just gonna say I'm gonna reiterate the state. What we say in Tennessee oftentimes.
Okay.
It ain't natural, Scott. I don't.
You know what? I've said it before. It's creepy.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
The spider car.
What's next on the list? We can't end on a down note.
No. I've got, you know what? I'm leading up to one here that I really enjoy. And we'll go quickly through the rest of them here, but we'll get to this last one.
Okay.
Now, these are just Photoshop versions, these next two. But I saw a Cobra. An original Cobra design that was a steampunk Cobra.
Wow.
Painted gold, you know, brass, whatever color it was, but a lot of gears and stuff showing. There's also a steampunk Camaro that you can find online if you do a search for this, a 2010 Camaro. And really,
the new
it's just.
One.
Yeah, exactly, the new one. And it's just a. It's just, again, just a Photoshop, but, you know, the doors, there's a lot of mechanics you can see through there. Interesting. There's a steampunk motorbike that, that you know, rides and drives that someone has built. It's another. It's another steampunk site where the owner does a lot of mods to vehicles and other things like watches and jewelry or whatever. He calls it the Whirligig Emoto. So they have these different names for these things. Yeah. Usually they're more complex names. The last one here on my list.
This is the big one.
This is the big one. There is a steampunk rat rod out there, which I think is really cool.
I could, I could see that very easily. I would almost, those two sort of design approaches seem so close to each other, too.
Yeah. This is just kind of, you know what rat rods are all about. Right. If you don't, take a look back at our podcast because we did a podcast on rat rods and
is free.
Exactly, which is free. And we also have an article on our site about rat rods, which
also
is
free. I'm just loving that voice.
Yeah, so it's rat rods, I think, are really cool.
Yeah.
And this one was built by a team called Steam Trunk Industries. And really, I mean, it's mostly a rat rod. It's got a few steampunk elements to it in the engine area. And what they have done is they've used copper tubing instead of rubber or steel. So anywhere you'd find copper, anywhere you find rubber or steel tubing, you now have copper tubing. So it looks like, the steampunk look.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's also this really cool shield that they've built around the alternator that it's just really decoration, really. But it's this really shiny copper. Well, at least it was shiny. It's probably not anymore. But copper that wraps around the alternator and has a bunch of holes drilled in it. It looks really industrial, really. It's just design, really, but it's again really cool. And there's other little copper elements here and there and brass elements, and they've done, they've taken different parts of the car, like maybe the dipstick and the top of that is now copper. Just little things here and there, enough to make it look really interesting. So I was pretty impressed when I saw this rat rod.
Here we go, man. Moment of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do this to your Honda Civic?
No. No, I wouldn't.
You've got to be a little more dramatic.
Why not? I wouldn't do it to my Civic. If I had another toy car that I wanted to mess around with, like a rat rod or something like that, maybe. But not my daily driver. It's just too much. It's a lot of ornamentation, and it's really decorative, and it's not really functional. I think it's a lot of stuff that might just break off.
You're kind of asking people to mess with it too.
Yeah.
If you have your daily driver as a car like that.
I guess. I mean, it definitely will draw a lot of attention. Mm. I don't know. It'd be kind of cool, but I just don't have the look to go along with it either. And, I'm not...
I was going
to
ask where your top hat is.
Yeah, exactly. Top hat, big goggles, that type of thing. Just a scarf, maybe. I don't know. Just maybe not. How about you? Would you steampunk your Monte Carlo?
I'm going to be 100% honest with you in this one. My truthiness factor is very high here. I don't think I would really want to. I don't know. Aesthetically, I tend to go for more simple, clean lines, clean designs. I like a lot of the older vehicles. Actually, similar to that 29 Roadster kit car that the man you mentioned earlier was buying, because I just like simplicity, and although I'm very fascinated by the mechanics of things like clockwork or things like clocks and how clocks work, I don't know if I want to see them lighting up every time I turn the ignition or I push a button on the radio.
No, I find looking at that stuff extremely fascinating. I love to watch clockworks and exactly how all the gears are working together, and anytime they have a display like that at the museum. Where they show, these big clocks or machines that, gear reduction machines and things like that. I love watching that stuff, but and anything mechanical, really. But this is just, it's decorative, and a lot of it is just, bolted on and doesn't necessarily move. Some of it does. Some of them are very ornate.
That's another thing, man. Yeah, it's decorative.
It is decorative.
There's not a function.
Yeah, I like there to be function to it as well, but maybe it's a little bit over the top for me.
We should open this up. Since neither of us are really on board with doing it to our own cars, Scott, I have a proposition for you as we end this podcast.
Okay.
Why don't we open this up to the listeners? We've talked about art cars. We've talked about all sorts of car modifications, everything from fish to dolls' heads to custom paint jobs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To those crazy Japanese trucks.
Sure. Aero kits. There's all kind of... active aerodynamics that we've talked about, with the moving spoilers and things like that. There's an unlimited amount of modifications you can do to a car.
So let's ask, let's open this up to everybody. You guys, cogitate for us, ruminate a bit, tell us what kind of weird modification you would make to your car if the sky was the limit. You know, so don't write back and say I'd paint my spoiler blue. I mean, we're talking dream big, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, right?
Yeah, good point.
All right, so that about wraps it up for the good Mr. Benjamin and myself. We are going to head out of here. If you guys are curious about learning more about anything automotive related or checking out some fascinating information, just go up to the search bar on How Stuff Works. As Josh from Stuff You Should Know likes to say, it is both handy and dandy, and you can find a lot of things there.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.